Blog Talk Radio.
Sacerdotes Radio. On today's program, I'm going to offer some reflections on Holy Week, which we are upon right now. Holy Week is Holy Week. What does that mean? It's a special week that we commemorate the Passion of Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. Holy Week is one of the most busiest times, liturgically speaking. There's so many things going on in the church. And sometimes we miss the whole symbolism behind the different liturgical rites and whatnot. And it's unfortunate because these rites are so beautiful, these liturgies are so beautiful, the way the church presents them to the people of God, so that we can elevate our senses to what the whole thing is about, the whole thing, the whole idea of Christianity, of Christ coming, suffering for us and dying and ultimately rising from the dead. The Catholic Church does an excellent job at presenting the redemptive act of Christ in a very sensual manner. And what I mean by that is that the church does a good job with bringing the senses to really capture everything that entails the redemptive act of Christ on the cross. From Palm Sunday all the way to Easter Sunday, each of these liturgies offers so much stimuli to the human mind. So much is going on that one has no choice but to absorb each detail, absorb each thing that goes on in the liturgy, and hopefully grow spiritually and truly process what's all this about. On Palm Sunday, of course, we remember the day that Jesus entered Jerusalem. He rode on a donkey, and the people were shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna," to the king. And they threw palm branches as a gesture of respect to this man, to this person who they believed to be the Messiah, the Anointed One, the one that God promised. Now, Palm Sunday reminds me of different things, but what really stands out is the idea of how hypocritical we can be. These people were praising him and whatnot, and just a few days later were turning their backs on him. And many times we do this. We may go to Mass every day or every Sunday, go to confession, and then we live life like if nothing really is going on, like if the church is just another ritual, another human rite that we do every day, like going to work, going to school, studying, brushing your teeth or whatnot. And we forget that the faith is not supposed to be something mechanical, something that we just do. A bunch of gears just working together, doing the same thing over and over, and not really understanding what it is all about. And the terms servile and filial come to mind. Servile fear, which is the idea that we do things out of obligation because we don't want to go to hell. So I go to Mass, I go to confession, I receive the sacraments. I'm nice to people, I'm good to people, merciful to people. Why? Because I love them, because I care for God, because I really love God. No, because I'm scared that I might go to hell if I don't do it. That's what servile fear is, and it's not a good thing, and that's not what the faith is supposed to be about. Well, we're supposed to fear the Lord, but in a sense, the word fear, the way the Bible uses it, is have respect. Just like we may have a fear of people in authority, of parents, governments, the school principal, whatnot, but it's not fear as in a sense of anxiety, trembling and whatnot, intimidation. Fear is, in the biblical sense, is respect, ultimate respect for God, that we love God so much that we fear hurting Him, offending Him. So servile fear is not what we're supposed to aspire to in the Catholic faith. What we're supposed to aspire to is filial love, which means that we love God. We do things, we go to Mass, we perform the obligations of the Catholic faith, not because we're scared to go to hell or because we want to achieve heaven as if we deserve a reward for doing these things, but rather we do these things because we love God. We don't want to offend God. Like a child who does chores because he wants his parents to be happy, proud of him or her, not out of fear. So we have to aspire to have filial love, rather filial fear, and seek God with genuine hearts and do the things that the church requires us to do, not out of a sort of obligation of fear that we're going to go to hell or not, but because we don't want to offend God. We love God so much that we want to do the right thing, pretty much. Jesus calmly writes into our lives many times to be rejected by us every time we sin. And that's not good. Again, we cannot be hypocritical. We have to be honest. If we're going to say Hosanna to the King, we have to mean it. It has to come from the heart, from the soul, from the mind. Not because of an obligation, not because we are scared that we're going to burn in hell for eternity, but because we love God, we want to be with God, we want to see God. We want to see, we want to experience God as He truly is. No more behind a veil or a cloud, as scripture puts it. We want to see God exactly how He is. Now, shortly after Palm Sunday, during Holy Week, before Holy Thursday, each diocese has what's called a Chrism Mass. And during the Chrism Mass, the bishop consecrates the oils that are going to be used to celebrate the sacraments throughout his diocese. The display of the oils bring to mind something that we often take for granted. For example, cooking, preparing a meal. Most of us use oil to cook in our homes. Oil, in a sense, is the first ingredient in most meals. It is not strange that oil will be the first ingredient, quote-unquote, to prepare us for the banquet. They are the sacraments of the church. Next is Wednesday, the Wednesday of Holy Week, which is Spy Wednesday. And the reason why it's called Spy Wednesday is because it is the day that Judas Iscariot was plotting against Christ. He was speaking with the priests, with the Pharisees, and plotting against the Lord for 30 pieces of silver. Now, Spy Wednesday should remind us that, or reminds me, that each one of us can be a Judas. We can betray Jesus in so many ways. And one of the ways is by leaving Mass early. It bothers me when I'm there in the sanctuary and I see people getting up. They receive communion and they just leave. They do not wait for the entire Mass to be completed. And it brings to mind Judas when he was in the Last Supper. He was the first one to get up and leave. He got up and ran. We must avoid doing this. Granted, there might be emergencies that something may happen. A parent may be in Mass and probably left the baby with a babysitter or something because she did not feel comfortable bringing him or her to Mass because babies often make a lot of noise and may distract people. And God forbid something happens, the babysitter texts or sends a message during the Mass to the parent saying that something happened. Well, that's, in my opinion, a legitimate reason to leave early. God understands, of course. But some people get up and leave just for any silly reason, to meet up with somebody else or to go watch a television show, or especially the Super Bowl, the football game. Some people leave Mass early because they want to go catch the game as if it's something important, like if this game is going to have any changing, transformative effect on your life. It's just a game. You could videotape it. You could, I forget the thing, I think it's DVR, I'm not sure what it is, but it could program the box or whatever to record for you. We have the technology nowadays to do that. There's no reason to get up and leave Mass for a ridiculous game of men running and bashing each other in the head with helmets. It's just to leave the sacrifice in the Mass just for that. I mean, it's just mind-boggling. So that's one way that we could be Judas, by leaving the Mass early and not really caring what the whole thing is all about, the whole Mass, the liturgy of the Word, the liturgy of the Eucharist. Which brings me to Holy Thursday, which is when we commemorate the Last Supper of Christ. Christ gathered his disciples and had the Passover Seder. Priests also renew their promises during this Mass. During this Mass, the washing of the feet takes place. And this, of course, brings about many ideas with the washing of the feet. And Pope Francis recently updated the rite, including women and other people to participate in the washing of the feet. And we all walk through life and we get dirty. Our feet get dirty. And we have to go to Christ to wash our feet, to be clean, to be, before we can enter into the supper. That's what the washing of the feet should bring us to meditate upon, at least in my opinion. At least that's what I think about when I see the washing of the feet, right? That we get dirty all over the world and Christ cleans us before we can participate in the Mass. Which brings me to mention that we shouldn't approach Holy Communion while in mortal sin, or even venial sin, I dare to say. We must approach Holy Communion with a clean heart, soul, and mind, fresh out of the confessional, so to speak. I visualize Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, washing the feet of all men and women and children, etc., who are sinners. This is a powerful image and one that is unique to religion in general. The gods of other religions, the made-up gods of other religions, have man as the slave of the deity. In other words, we see in other religions that man is the slave of the deity. The man has to do all kinds of things to please his deity. And we see this with the ISIS and these fundamentalist Muslims, who they want to please Allah so much that they do all these kinds of atrocities, killing the infidel, so to speak, quote unquote infidel, and all these kinds of crazy ideas, because they're scared of this being which they call Allah. In Christianity, is very radical. God is the servant. As we see in the washing of the feet, God is the one on his knees cleaning the feet of man. This is a very powerful image if you think about it. Just close your eyes and visualize it. God, the creator of space and time and matter, of all that is seen and unseen. This beautiful universe out there. I'm a student of the sciences. I love the universe. I love anything that has to do with science, with the particles that make up the universe and everything. So simple yet complicated when you study physics and all these different things in science. And to think that all of this was made by this powerful being. And if any other dimensions exist, any other universes out there, multiverses exist, this being created all that, things seen and unseen, things that we haven't even discovered yet, that might be out there. This God, this being created all of that. And to visualize this being in the person of Jesus Christ, on his knees, washing the feet of men, a sinful men who don't give a darn about God and being good to the neighbor and loving. A sinful man is often very selfish, thinking about himself, herself. And God is on his knees washing the feet. I mean, it's just a powerful image, an amazing image. It literally feels like Christ is treating us like we're his God, in a sense. Then on Holy Thursday, we see another powerful image, the transference of the Blessed Sacrament to the altar repose. And while this is going on, the altar server, somebody is using the clacker, which is a wooden instrument that makes a clacking sound, showing that something symbolic, something somber is going on, something that's powerful, but it's not something that's joyful, like a sound of a bell. That's why during the Easter Triduum, we don't ring the bells until Easter, because something serious is going on, something somber. Christ is suffering, he's dying. He dies. The transference of the Blessed Sacrament to the altar of repose is just another image. It literally feels like Christ is being arrested and taken away from us. The mood is somber. We feel alone, sad, and hopeless because God is being taken away. And that's a good reflection of how life is without God. We feel alone, we feel empty. Next, we have Good Friday. And Good Friday's Liturgy of the Passion is one of the that is very long, of course, but brings about the whole idea of the Passion. The Passion was long. Jesus was suffering for many hours, being scourged, being crowned with a crown of thorns, being made to carry the heavy cross, falling three times along the way, being nailed on the cross, being mocked on the cross, tortured, not only physically, emotionally, but also psychologically. Many people complain about, oh, the Good Friday is too long. They have you standing up, kneeling down, standing up. I mean, Jesus suffered way more than that. Come on, you cannot say that it's a big deal in the sense that you're suffering or you're miserable. I mean, Christ suffered more. You have to be appreciative of that. The reading of the word and the participation of the people makes the passion come alive in the church. You get the sense of actually being there and watching Jesus before Pilate. The unveiling of the word of the cross is another instance of reflection. The mystery of the cross is something we often wrestle with. Why did God have to die? Why on the cross? The unveiling reminds us of this mystery. The cross was used back in Roman times as the worst form of execution. It was a mockery. People were put on a cross there and left to hang there until they die. It was a form of humiliation. Yet Christ chose this, allowed this, God allowed this to take place. Because it shows that what we do to God, we mock God every day. I mean, we see atheists all over the place making fun of God. But what's worse than an atheist making fun of God is a Christian trying to pretend to be Christian while living the worldly life. That really mocks God, because you're playing both sides of the aisle, so to speak. The sight of an empty church with statues and images covered, no crucifixes, the tabernacle wide open, no candlelight from the vigil, from the sanctuary of a lamp or any other candle. Is there another reflection? Is a reflection that without Christ, the church is nothing. The church loses its beauty without Him. The church is empty without Christ. Christ in the Blessed Sacrament is taken out. The church is nothing. It's just a building. Some Latino and Italian parishes have processions where they dress up like the main persons of the Passion. They reenact the stations of the cross vividly, and you actually feel like you're there 2,000 years ago walking the way of the cross with Christ. Each station brings about a reflection. The one that stood out to me was where Jesus falls. I began to think Jesus fell 3 times. Once for the past, for the present, and for the future. He took on the sins of each time period, but they did not keep Him down. He got back up. Christ stood back up. The stations of Simon the Cyrene and Mary, Christ's mother approaching Christ, her son, are also powerful images to reflect on. Mary embracing her son is a very powerful image. Sometimes kids get ashamed of being around their moms. They don't want to be a mama's boy or mama's girl. Here we have Mary embracing her son, a grown man, 33 years of age. This image shows the importance of the love between parents and children. Jesus was not ashamed or embarrassed of having his mom around. Also, the mere fact that Mary could embrace God in such a way is awesome. And we hope for the day that we can embrace God the same way. Furthermore, God does not need anyone, yet Simon helps him carry the cross. When we grow in grace and get closer to Christ, we elevate his suffering, just like Simon approached Christ and helped him carry the cross. Next, we have the Easter Vigil. The Easter Vigil has so many instances for reflection. The priest lights the fire outside of the church and prepares the Paschal candle. The fire reminds us that Christ is the light. Without light, nothing can survive in this world. If the sun were to turn off one day, go supernova, our world would become a dark, frozen wasteland. Similarly, without Christ, we become nothing more than animals acting out our instinctual habits. Killing each other, raping each other, attacking each other, fighting each other for food and whatnot. The image of a darkened church shows this. Without Christ, the church is dark and lonely. It is a useless building just there on the block, on the street block. The procession with the Paschal candle reminds us that Christ is the light. With the small flame of this candle, we are able to see the church's interior. The church is inside. The visual of the people lighting the candles on the Paschal candle is awesome. It shows Christ's light being transferred to each one of us. As each candle is lit, its owner's face becomes visible. And I notice this all the time every year. The people have their small candles and small tapers, and they light it up, and you start seeing these faces pop up in the darkness because Christ's light gives us meaning, each one of us. The light of Christ highlights our image, our identity. Without Christ, we're just nothing in darkness. We have our image restored by the light of Christ, and rightfully so, because we are God's image. Then the glory and the ring of the bell shows the joy the church has, knowing that Christ is risen. We receive the catechumens, who prepare throughout the year for their reception of the sacraments of being received in the church. And the church has new life. We renew our baptism promises. It's just an amazing liturgy to participate. Finally, we have Easter Sunday, what the whole thing is all about. The church looks beautiful again. It has flowers. The statues are uncovered. The images on the walls are uncovered. The Blessed Sacrament is present. The church has life once again. It's not that empty building anymore. Similarly, we have new life in Christ. We remind ourselves that death is not the last thing. It's not the last. Death doesn't have the last say. Christ is the Lord of life and death. Holy Week is holy indeed. There's so many things going on that I don't have time to get into at the moment, but I recommend that if you have not participated, and unfortunately it's not an obligation to participate in the liturgies other than Easter Sunday, but if you have not participated in these liturgies, I recommend it that you do it next year, every year. The liturgies for the week are so rich in symbolism, visuals, and all kinds of sensual perceptions that the mind, the heart, just go wild trying to process all these things and incorporate them into the spiritual life, putting it all into perspective based on the liturgy of the word, the Bible, what the Bible tells us of God's love for us, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. May God bless you all. Happy Easter, and may Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, be praised forever and ever. Amen.